Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
And welcome to episode 129 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. Not to be confused with Webcomic Bacon, though that does sound pretty good. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me I have my co-hosts, Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com.
Hello, hello.
And Mark Savory of autumnlake.com.
Well, hello there.
And this week, we're going to be talking about comic management systems, at least a few of them, and I'm certain that people will be, I'm hoping that people will make some extra comments when we post the show about other things and tell us about those. But for now, we're going to be talking a little bit about Drupal's system, Comic Reef a little bit, as well as Strip Show. Well, I think we could start off talking a little bit about Comic Reef because, we'll get into it. But representing Comic Reef, because I couldn't get the actual guy, is Thomas Overbeck from timeslikethis.com, I believe. Is that correct?
Good evening. Hey. So what... I'm also representing Times Like This, and for if I could mention the something taking place this Saturday, the Dallas Webcomics Expo.
Oh, yes. Go ahead and mention that first, since we're going to be mentioning a bunch today.
Dallas Webcomics Expo, meant to be like a little gathering of webcomic artists and their fans.
When is it?
It is Saturday, August 21st, starting at 11 a.m., continuing until about 6 p.m. We've got special guests, Joel Watson from Hijinks Ensue. We have Randall Milholland from Something Positive. We have Rob Den Blyker, one of the guys behind Cyanide and Happiness. And also David McGuire from Gastrophobia and a bunch of other wonderful, talented individuals all gathering for their own little convention.
Hooray!
Sweet.
Cool. Is there a website for that?
Yes, it is dwex.info, dwex.info.
I might attend. I'm in Fort Worth.
Good deal.
Well, awesome.
I'm in Austin. I could probably come back.
Damn it. I wanted to go, but no, I'm not in Austin. So we're Austin or Fort Worth.
There's another one that's not a webcomic central thing, but there's a convention on the 21st in Minneapolis called the Minneapolis Indie Expo. I'll mention it later in the show since I don't have the links and stuff. And besides, we're going to be talking, and you're going to tell us about Comic Reef. What the heck is it?
Okay, well, let's see here if I can pull up. See, there's not really a website per se on it. If you Google Comic Reef, the first thing that comes up is like a post in a forum on webcomicscommunity.com. But I'm going to go ahead and read off of that if I can get my phone to pull up here.
What kind of phone is it?
It's an iPhone.
Why?
It's an iPhone 3G, but it's running the 4.0, and I think that's probably why it's so slow. It's kind of...
It's not built for that hardware. What you really need to do is go buy an Android.
Whatever.
All right, so...
Okay, the Comic Reef philosophy, reading from Black Knight's or Crossing Death's post. Like a coral reef, Comic Reef is merely a single component to build upon your overall webcomic design and structure. Its goal is to provide the maximum level of usability with minimal interference to an artist's web designer structure. And it doesn't require an existing CMS like WordPress or whatever. It just, you know, it's designed to you just install it and just run it, and if you have, you know, working knowledge of HTML or whatever, you can tweak it to your needs.
what is the code that it utilizes? Like mostly like CSS, or is it all?
It does involve CSS, and it's a mostly PHP based thing.
Okay. So it utilizes a database as well? Is there a database login, or is it just...
I believe, yeah, Yeah, it does provide a database login. I just see, I'm not.
You dropped all of us, dude.
No, we just dropped Tanya.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, it's
like I guess I'm asking: does it require a data MySQL to work?
MySQL,
whatever.
MySQL.
Yeah, it does have it.
I've always called it that.
I've always called it MySQL.
Yeah, I've called it that.
MySQL.
Okay, so so tell us a little bit about. How you, I mean, have you worked with WordPress before at all?
Yes, I have. I used to do my, this is like a few years ago, I used to do my blog, do a personal blog on WordPress, but it was like, but I had a few hassles with it. It was like, there's no way, I mean, back then, I'm sure it's in change now, but it, I mean, there's still, there's not really a way.
Use your words, man.
There's not a way to deal with all the, you know, all the spamming trolls that would post, you know, their little advertisements in the comments. Mm-hmm. And it's like day to day, I'd have to keep deleting them one by one, whatever. And also, there's just a problem with like upgrading and a few other problems with getting like certain styles to show up and everything. I just really, it just kind of soured WordPress for me.
Okay.
And so,
my question was
times like this, I was just retooling the website myself, just making it, just putting the HTML stuff in, and later on, just, you know, updating everything through Dreamweaver. And
so you had an entirely HTML site.
Yes.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, too.
It's awesome.
And so then, I mean, when I started looking into, you know, maybe doing a content management system, it's like, what? It was at this point that, you know, Comic Press was like the big dominant thing going on. Mm-hmm. But I know, but it's, again, it's, when I found out, of course, it was on run through WordPress, I was like, maybe not. But, I mean, I have nothing against Comic Press. It's just that...
How long ago was this for you?
Like, it wasn't for me. And
No. How long ago was it that you were looking at doing the switch? Because a time frame might give us an idea of what you were facing at the time as well.
Okay, well, this is just like this is just like late last year, late 2009, and I mean, I did a little search for other CMSs, and ones I found out were also being based on WordPress. I started looking to see, okay, maybe there's some little ones around here that might be utilized, that some people might have used. I mean, my the web hosting site I go through has like some had some preloaded CMSs like Drupal and Zoom and whatever, Zoops or whatever.
One click installs.
Yeah, that maybe I could utilize, but didn't really see anything reliable or whatever. So, then I discovered where that one of the guys on Drunk Duck, Crossing Death, was working on his own little program called Comic Reef, and he was looking for beta testers for it. So I decided, okay, I'll sign up for that. And that's when I got the install file and loaded it from there, and it has been working really good for me so far. No major problems or nothing.
Well, so good. I wanted to go back. Hang on. I might be pulling somebody else in here in a second or a little bit later, but I was asking mostly about WordPress because I was wondering because you have worked with WordPress, so you kind of know how you edit the themes and all that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you compare kind of editing and working with WordPress to a little bit about how is it fairly similar? Is it a little bit more stripped down, a little bit more simplified, a lot more HTML base code still infused in it, or?
Well, I do use WordPress with the Dwex.info site, so I do still work with it at the present time, and it, I mean, it has. So I have kind of let up on my criticism of WordPress, but I still. So yeah, it has. Comic Reef has its basic stuff for now. It has options to add, you know, just add comics, to edit comments, to edit the posts you already made. You can also, it also has the option of letting you add a blog.
Okay.
Post blurb to your site.
Okay.
So I got a question. What's the back end like? I mean, when you, does it have like an admin console?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And one of the biggest problems I had was when I stepped into a, you know, away from Autogenesis was, you know, I was used to using an FTP client just dumping pages in 10 at a time, and just because of the file name, it knew when to update them and post. And, you know, the biggest thing that most content management systems have to do with posts is you have to schedule each individual post. I mean, Fez showed me a great way to do it in Webcomic, if, you know, for my first 40 pages, but, you know, other than that, it's, you know, I like the dump and go feature. And does your system have something like that?
If you're talking about like a bulk ad, it doesn't have one of those. I'm hoping the Black Knight guy is working on that, but yeah, you have to upload everything individual, every page individually. So yeah, I was up to almost 300 strips at the time. So yeah, it was a little lengthy type deal for me, but I really wanted to give this a try, so I went through with it, and I'm all done.
Right.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks very much for telling us about Comic Reef. And once again, who is what? I want you to give us who's the creator of this again, so we give proper credit.
Dr. Jeff something or other. I just usually know him as Black Knight One or Crossing Death on Twitter.
Okay.
Right. Is he really a doctor?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. But a doctor of what?
I don't know.
Got a PhD in webcomics, no doubt.
I mean, if you look at it, Dr. Laura is technically a doctor, but not really a psychiatrist.
Yeah, exactly. She has a PhD in physical education.
Really? She's a gym teacher?
Yes, she's a gym teacher.
You should have heard her this week. She did.
That explains really a lot.
Anyway, so this is not Phys Ed Beacon, but. We'll get that in the links and we'll see what we can find. It sounds like it's still in beta testing.
Yeah.
Not officially released yet, so it's something to look out for people that are thinking about making a new site down the road a little bit. There might be a little bit more options coming out. A few more options coming out. And let's see here. We're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to talk about Strip Show next. And
yes.
So, Brad, tell us about Hello. Strip Show.
Well, Strip Show is...
No, not that kind.
Mark. He's playing the burlesque music.
Sorry, never mind. Go ahead.
Strip Show is another WordPress plugin for webcomics. It is a little bit older than Webcomic and Inkblot, but not quite as old as Comic Press. It started out as something a lot like Comic Reef, only without the user interface, without the back-end administrator interface. Basically, it was a PHP version of AutoKeen Lite. I don't know if you remember AutoKeen Lite, but back in the days of KeenSpace and KeenSpot, KeenSpace is where I started out. So it's Comic Genesis now.
We're actually going to get that person on the show a little bit later, too. So
I saw that in the chat. That's awesome. I want to hear what's going on with that software. The AutoKeen Lite was a Perl script. And over a weekend, I learned PHP and made a PHP version of it because that's what my host, you know, had, and I thought it would be a little easier. So that was the first version of Strip Show. And I ran that for a couple of years. And then, who was it? DJ Kaufman of Your Mama was telling me all about how awesome WordPress was and how every webcomic artist should move over to WordPress immediately. And it was about that time that Tyler Martin started Comic Press. And so I looked at that, I liked it, but I felt that there were a few things that I wanted to do that were missing from it. And, you know, being a tried and true geek, I went ahead and made my own thing. One of the things that I needed was to use my own theme. I didn't want to use the Comic Press theme, so I figured that most of the heavy lifting of being a webcomics plugin could be in a plugin instead of a theme. So that was the main difference back then between Strip Show and Comic Press, was that one was a theme which does everything you need, and the other is a plugin which can be used with any theme. And that's kind of the philosophy that I've kept, you know, throughout all these years, is that you should be able to use any theme and have as much control over customization as you want. So basically, Strip Show brought over ideas from Autokine, which were that there were template tags that you would put in your own HTML or PHP files, and they would translate into here's where the webcomic goes, here's where the buttons for back, forward, and first and last go, etc.
Nice.
I also wanted to add some features which were not part of Comic Press at the time, like transcripts and storylines.
Right.
And they've since added those. I personally prefer my implementation. I wanted transcripts to be as customizable as possible. So I kind of generated a little, you might even call it a markup language for them. You basically, in your comic post, you put in, you know, a few codes, not unlike XML, but they wouldn't, in WordPress, you're not actually allowed to use the angle brackets, so it has to be like curly brackets. You basically put your transcript in kind of a script format, and then you can do whatever the hell you want with it. It automatically applies different CSS classes to each element, like the character's name, the dialogue. You can make action or sound effects. And it's all searchable, and it's hideable and showable on your page.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, that'd be really nice.
I do kind of miss that
sort of, you know, being able to play with things, and instead of just having this, it comes out looking like a producer's script. You know, when you do the scripts, it's just really boring to read through.
That is the underlying philosophy of Strip Show. It's designed to be. I used to make the kind of facetious comparison, whereas the Comic Press is Windows, you know, it's used by almost everyone, and Strip Show is Mac. It's for an elite group of you know, in the know people. But really, what I really came to the realization was that Strip Show is actually more like Linux.
I was going to say.
It's for the uber nerd who wants to be able to control every last little detail of their webcomic production experience.
So does the Autokine light root still shine through? Like if I do the massive page dump and give all the names like 2010-01-01, 2010-02-02 to the file names, will it know when the post just like Autogenesis and Autokine and all that?
And not really. It's still WordPress, so there still need to be posts for each comic. One thing that I did, one of the reasons that I did break away from Comic Press early on was actually that I had all these files named exactly as you just mentioned from Keenspace, you know, 2002-01-01.gif. And Comic Press.
Why were we using GIFs?
There to be hyphens in there.
Oh yeah,
And it was either just make a tweak to the Comic Press code, which would be obliterated when I upgraded it, or you know, go off and make my own thing. And I, because I'm the kind of person that always chooses the path of most resistance, I went off and made my own thing. And it was the first feature that Strip Show actually got touted was you can use any format for the names of the files.
So basically, you went hyphen. Screw that! I'll code my own and just
Later on, Strip Show also was ahead of Comic Press in saying, "Well, the hell with all that entirely. You can have any file name.
Yeah,
no dates. Screw it. You don't want dates. You don't have dates."
Well, I don't know about you speaking about having no dates, but
welcome to my.
I was waiting for that.
God. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Yeah. Yes. Other things that we've still other things that have been with the strip show from the beginning are you can have more than one host on a given day.
Mm-hmm.
You can have more than one comic file per post. Say you wanted every panel of a strip to be its own image file, you can do that. Okay. If you want to use, of course, you can use GIF, JPEG, PNG, Flash.
Can we use SVG?
Oh.
Right, SVG, right, yes.
Bitmap. But,
you can also use HTML files if that's what gets you hot. You can have like a fully interactive little experience and have your own little web page.
Okay, now wait a minute. That has massive possibilities, though, to be able to post in HTML format. You could do
it.
You could
it do. Does, and it does. Okay. And if you're somebody like Scott McCloud who wants to, push the boundaries of what can be done with interactive comics and whatnot,
then you can.
Mark, Ben, we're not going there. Not this episode.
I'm sorry.
No, but yeah, push the boundaries and be able to, without using Flash, have sort of an interactive comic.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. I have no real imagination for the applications that it could have, but I'm hoping that someone out there will take advantage of that feature.
Adventures.
It's one of the most undersung features of Strip Show.
I think that could be fun. That has Easter egg possibilities. I think that's the thing I'm most excited about. Is that being able to post the comic in an HTML format gives you Easter egg possibilities that you don't typically have.
Well,
you can hide hidden stuff.
Well, you could have a chord map on an image.
The HTML is not in an iframe or anything. It's just there on the page. You can style it with CSS and interact with it with jQuery or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I was saying, what is it? Coordinates, like link coordinates? If you make it an HTML file, you could probably just make it the image and then just stick all the link coordinates within it. Yeah.
Image maps are so 1999.
Yeah, but they so work.
Yeah, they work. It's not like you're using tables.
I'm an old guy. That's what I know. So, yeah.
But they're so functional. Yeah.
Z and X, absolute positioning, that's the way.
Yeah, but what if they, like, have a browser bigger than how your absolute positioning and your cursor could be entirely way off.
What
you do is you set a relative position first.
Yeah. You can do absolute positioning.
Or you can do an image map.
With an image map, you're saying that you're back in 1997.
Well, the good thing about image maps is that if somebody out there feels the need for whatever reason to use Internet Explorer, it'll still work, because Internet Explorer still freaks out and says, "No, there's only 8 quadrants on a screen. You can't put it wherever you want, and it can't handle that." So,
well, most the market share is IE8 now, so that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, you know how many people have not updated to IE8?
Everybody who still has a virus.
I haven't updated to IE8. I just don't use it.
Microsoft made it a critical update, for crying out loud.
I know. But I actually deselected it when I did my critical updates. I went in and purposely said everything but that.
Something like 7% of people on the internet still use IE6.
Exactly. And your perfect positioning will.
It's people's grandparents.
Oh, yeah. I gotta admit that I don't know whether Comic Press and Inkblot do the same thing, but the example themes in the Come With Strip Show, like the sandbox theme that I'll talk about in a minute, have not been tested with IE6. I just don't feel that that's something that I should be asked to do anymore.
No.
It's not the market share anymore.
None of us should have to beat our head against that wall. No.
Yeah.
No. I refuse.
It'll drive you mad is what it'll do.
Yeah.
If you want to make a theme for Strip Show that works with IE6, there's nothing in the plugin. There's nothing in the code that will prevent you from, prevent it from working. But I'll host it on my site if you want to make one. But I myself am not going to do, any example themes or demonstrations that are going to be particularly IE6 friendly.
No.
Well, all you need to do is just mess up your style sheet by adding all those underscore variables in there.
Yeah, the IE6 hacks, right. I remember those. Yeah, I don't do those anymore. Screw it.
Brad, if there's some more stuff you want to say, you have about less than five minutes to do so before I run out of room.
Well, the intention behind Stripshow, as I said, was to make it customizable, have it kind of be the Linux of the webcomic world. What I found of the actual people that started using it was kind of the opposite. I would get a lot of requests that say, yeah, I installed your plugin. Where does the comic go in my theme? And, well, you put in a show comic tag, and they're like, what? So, okay. So I added a feature which is kind of revolutionary, that is kind of for that, you know, extreme novice webcomic user, which is called AutoComic. And what AutoComic does is, with just a minimum of work, you take any WordPress theme that you find, say, on their theme site or wherever you might pull it out of, and using the magic of JavaScript, it puts your comic front and center on the page with all the navigation buttons and everything you want. All the Stripshow widgets are still available, of course, to any theme, just like they would be to my own example themes. But now you can be using, say, for example, WordPress's default theme, 2010, and boom, suddenly it's a webcomic theme. Coding on your part and just a bare minimum of stuff you have to know about the theme. You got to figure out where you want to put it on the page. You got to kind of look at the code and see, you know, what div you want to stick it below. But that's about it. That's all you really need to do.
Nice.
Wow. But the real question is, will it display properly in Netscape 4?
Oh, God.
It will. If it did, I don't myself have a machine that will run Netscape 4 in order to test, but if it did, I think that I would probably crap myself.
Don't you win the internet at that point? Like,
I would win the internet, yes. Yes. Netscape Navigator 4 is not a part of my testing workflow any more than IE6 is.
There's a website somewhere where it will test like 100 different types of browsers. We don't know what that is right now. I don't have time because we're running out of recording space for this. But if we find it, we'll stick it in the show notes, or somebody can post a comment.
All right.
In the episode. But
I would like to know. I would like to know how.
I've heard of that too.
It might be in our archives somewhere. But that's all we have for right now. We're going to go to break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Drupal and some other additional information, and I think AutoKeen Lite or whatever's coming up next. We're going to break right now.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
So you're still running Donut?
Yes. No, Cupcake.
No, 1.5 is Cupcake.
No, Donut. It was Donut, then Cupcake, right?
1.4, it's 1.4, I thought.
I thought 1.5 was Donut, 1.6 was Cupcake.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I'm running Donut.
I don't care.
All got calories.
But
and I'm running Eclair still. Froyo's going to come out on the 18th for me.
Yeah.
What is with this frickin' pastry named thing, Wannabe Mac?
Because Google's awesome!
Because they like food.
Om nom 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 nom.
There's no... What are they working towards, like, wedding cake? I don't know.
No, what they're working towards is... 3.0 is going to be called gingerbread.
Yeah.
Okay, see, there's no logic in this, so I'm going by... Oh, this is a webcomic beacon, and we're going to talk about webcomics now.
Okay. That's a good idea.
And Ben, would you mind if we brought in Kelly Price to talk about that Autogenesis thing or whatever before we go into Drupal?
Certainly, I do not mind at all because I can talk about Drupal for a bit, but it's not really a ready thing.
Okay. Hello, you're on the webcomic beacon.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hi.
Not too bad.
All right. So I've been hearing some stuff in chat and been talking with you a little bit that you're working on. Is it on like a new AutoKeen or something like that?
Yeah, what it is that, well, let me introduce myself. I'm Kelly Price. I'm the admin behind Comic Genesis and some of KeenSpot itself now. Oh, and with a lot, originally KeenSpot and Comic Genesis, well, Comic Genesis for sure, originally was running on was term AutoKeen, which was quite nice of a automatic system. There was a light version which some comics still use, like West Corner of the Park by Jim Grote is using AutoKeen Light, which is just a straight pull CGI script. Nice, but, well, times have changed. We got PHP now. AutoKeen got replaced with AutoGenesis, which is my own. I had to rip up AutoKeen and rewrite it myself as my own. For those who left but still wanted that nice, lovely AutoKeen functionality, I wrote up a short little script in PHP called AutoGenesis Lite, and I just pushed it out. And there's been some demos out there, so I've given it to a fellow cohort, one of our friendly admins who is helping out with one of our competitors on Grote, but still, it's a mutual benefit for everyone. As I said, I pushed it out, and I am going to paste the URL to FizzWorks in order to get the URL correctly pronunciated. It's not on Common Genesis service yet. It's going to take a while just to get it up there, but I at least have my own private domain, which I can shove it up there.
Okay.
So
are you looking, is it still kind of being beta tested right now, or?
It's open source, actually. I haven't tested it. Some other people have tested it. I would love to have the feedback on it.
Okay, and you'll get us a link, and we can direct people to it if they're interested?
Yep, it should be in your Skype now.
Okay, it looks like, can I say it on the air?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. That's why I gave it to you.
All right, redwolf.ws/AG_LITE. And we will stick that in the show notes as well. And this doesn't have to be on Comic Genesis, correct?
No, you just need a PHP host.
Okay.
It works similar to Comic Genesis. Some features are not in there. I mean, there's no calendar in there. Some of the features that you find on Comic Genesis are not in there. I just basically, okay, let's get a script which does the basics and go from there.
Okay.
Does it need to be PHP 5 or do other versions work?
I think it'll work in PHP 4, but it should work in 5.
Okay.
If there's bugs, let me know so I can fix them.
Well, alrighty. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about it? Mention before we let you go?
No, but as I said, this is just basic script. So if you want to play around with it, adjust it, it works just like you if you were on Comic Genesis. Yeah, there is that date limitation, but if you put dates in for your comic, and I think there should be some sizing info in there too. Oh, but still, yeah. Take a look at the script. If you have any ideas and suggestions, or if you want to hack the code, go right ahead. It's the same open source license as we did with the same open source
hang on.
License as we did with
somebody has their Ustream open. Somebody has their Ustream open.
Lisa has braces. Lisa has braces.
No, stop.
Lisa has braces.
No, stop. YouTube Ustreamer, close out. Okay. Okay, now I muted the output to Ustream, so whoever has Ustream open, please mute it or close the window.
I want those clips.
What clips? I don't know. I kind of stopped recording after a while.
No. I need the clips of the echoes. I have two friends who produce techno records who would love that shit.
Wow. Nice. So my singing could actually be on a techno record? I would love
that. That's right. You could be on the next, you know, the next album that comes out.
Well, I could be as big as the guy who sang he came in through your window.
No.
It's right.
I did stop recording at some point. I don't know how much I got, but if you want clips, I guess I'll get you clips. The one from last time, I think before the break, is probably going to be the zinger for the show.
Perfect.
But in any case, Kelly, I do want to thank you for coming on the show. We'll put your link in the show notes and let us know if there's further developments down the road.
Yeah, I'll probably pop a website at that URL and try to at least get it copied over to AutoKey to Comic Genesis itself for those who are interested.
Okay. Well, no problem. Thanks once again, and we'll see you later.
Catch you later.
Okay. Now, I have no idea how much of this file is echoes or not. So, right now, let's go ahead and, Ben, let's let you talk for a while and talk about a bit about Drupal. The code itself and the module.
Certainly. Drupal is a content management system that is very similar to WordPress, but more aimed for programmers, people who like to build web stores. It's not as blog oriented as WordPress is, so it's got a lot of functionality under the hood. It's basically okay, here it is, start having fun. And the one thing I find with Drupal is a lot of its documentation is like documentation for programmers, while a lot of WordPress's documentation is like documentation for the hobbyists, the heavy coders. I mean, the Drupal website and their coding website and the site, you know, their main site is pretty much like is like Google Code, where you go in and it's basically a code repository telling you about version numbers and code numbers and all that stuff. It's a lot more heavy duty under the hood sort of thing, and it's nice.
Not for
it's
novices. Nice. And,
what?
Not for novices.
Yeah, not for webcomics yet. It's Drupal does have a webcomic module. It is very rough still. It's the archiving and display options are not yet functional,
mm-hmm.
which makes me sad. But I find that personally writing things for Drupal is a lot easier than writing things for any of the other than WordPress. I mean, if I compare one or the other, it's just night and day for me, coding wise, because of the way that Drupal. Structured their website and all the documentation. It's just pick it up and go easy. I went from being a Drupal novice to a Drupal theme expert in a day. Well, WordPress, I'm still trying to scratch my head and figure out how to write a theme, and all I'm stuck with is pretty much banging my head trying to, you know, kitbash a theme based off of existing themes.
Right. The webcomic Beacons theme is 2.5 years old. And it is severely hacked up. Severely hacked up. I'm actually thinking of just finding like some other theme and just kind of grafting
in there, see what happens.
Yeah, well, kind of grafting it back to how I wanted, because now I'm a little bit more familiar. But the way this it's what is it, Anubis 1.0 theme, and I don't know if there's any newer ones since then or if the site's still up, but. It basically, the style sheet defines freaking everything. It defines like text size and all these sorts of things, divs and backgrounds for each of these: header, left sidebar, right sidebar, individual posts, pages, the front page, the footer. And it's like, it took me a while to find all of these and delete them so I could have one uniform text style for everything. Holy crap. But yeah, I'm a Frankencoder.
Yeah, he's a Frankencoder. He goes in with a machete, and whatever doesn't bleed to death, he patches up. And
Machete.
It worked.
Zombie Coda.
Dan, he's
it works pretty well. I mean, world. It seems painful, but, yeah. You know.
Is this so what's going to happen to my site? It'll be zombified?
No. I know more about what I'm doing there.
So Fezworks is the Danny Trejo of the webcomic world.
A little bit.
I've been working with Webcomic Inkblot and converting some comic press sites for people. I'm going to be doing my second one soon. I'm going to be converting Intragalactic, it looks like. And before that,
were you able to convert Eric over?
Oh, I didn't talk to him about. Oh, I'd not convert. I'm like, I'm actually going to be doing the comic press to Inkblot conversion.
So you're not an evangelist.
No.
Gather around, children. Listen to the story.
I did it for Between Failures too, and it's just basically I can help you design your site, but I don't know how to do it in comic press. But we're not here to talk about comic press or.
No,
or
we were talking about Drupal.
We're talking Drupal. About Drupal.
No. Drupal is a great. Is a great basic function CMS. It has tons of documentation, so
that's good.
It's all PHP driven. It and the thing is, like I said, the webcomic module is unfinished, sadly, and doesn't quite work 100% how I like it, which is a shame because I can write Drupal themes till the cows come home.
Yeah,
and it's
I was actually part of. One of the last Drupal version testings. I was part of the testing group. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the webcomic module. I'm waiting because you can do anything with Drupal. You could have a completely integrated site. If you were running a Drupal site with a webcomic module, you could have your webcomic and your shopping cart and your blogs and all of your stuff all on one site, all with one code, all with one base, and it would be beautiful and perfect if they'd only finish the webcomic module. So when
and that's the thing.
That,
the webcomic module, the last developer release, was for version 5 of Drupal, and they're now in 6 coming into 7.
I know.
Wow.
So what the heck?
Those bastards.
Come on, guys.
Oh, well, it's something to...
So what webcomics use Drupal at the moment? Do you know of any?
I don't know of any.
No, it's in development. There might be some person who grabbed the Drupal webcomic module and kitbashed it to something that works. Because, like I said, the whole feel I have from the Drupal community is Drupal is the Linux of the CMS community.
Oh, I thought it was Strip Show.
No, Strip Show is the Linux of the comic management community. I'm talking about content management.
I'll be the BOS if you want me to. Or desk view, maybe. I don't know.
Desk view. Right. It's highly customizable. It's not really made for... Well, now I can't say that it's not made for novices because once you if you build somebody a Drupal site with a nice back end, they would be able to do anything they wanted to it, and it wouldn't be any more difficult than loading your comics and loading your blogs onto WordPress or anything else.
I like being
it's
able to do anything
easy.
I want
to a nice back end. What you could do really easily is you could go into Drupal, install it, and then tell it to load the Zen theme or the basic theme or the adaptive theme, and then those themes actually have a subwindow that tells you lets you set the logo, the width, the colors of everything.
Yeah. The back end is beautiful.
Hello? Did we lose everybody?
No, I think it was just an awkward pause.
I think we lost. We might have.
I think we're all just trying not to snicker when she said the back end is beautiful.
We lost.
I was thinking the same thing.
We lost Ben and Tanya, actually.
Oh,
we, you lost me
and Tanya. I was just about to try to say that I wanted to make a joke earlier. Is like I'd like to do anything to a beautiful back end, but that's what Tanya said.
Nice.
I mean, it presented itself.
We're all pervs.
I mean, what are you going
to
do with it?
You're starting to sound like Mel Gibson there about it presenting itself.
Well, Tanya's talking about back ends.
Oh. Next thing I know, you're going to tell her that... Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, right, we're not going there. Just leave that alone. No. Yeah.
With regards to Drupal, I had the occasion to meet a Drupal developer a while back, and I talked to him about what I was doing with WordPress, and he talked to me about Strip Show. He didn't really have much of a high opinion of what he was doing with Drupal. He didn't have much of a high opinion of WordPress, and he wanted to demonstrate that everything that my WordPress plugin could be done in Drupal. And he showed me actually some really, really cool stuff about how you can, you know, add, I forget the terminology, add content types.
Blocks.
Yeah, blocks and in content types and fields and custom pagers and put it all together. And you'd have to you get a few modules that you have to put together and then assemble the modules and then make custom types. And once it was done, it looked, of course, it didn't look like anything. He didn't make any themes or anything, but it functioned as one would expect, you know, a webcomic site to function, more or less. More tweaking was required, but over the course of, you know, 15, 20 minutes, he showed me, you know, how you can make all this stuff. But it struck me that, you know, Drupal needs what WordPress has in Comic Press, Web Comic, Strip Show, is, you know, kind of a turnkey system.
Right.
That you install and boom, there it is. Whereas I think that getting a webcomic up in WordPress, learning how to do that would take the form of a set of instructions rather than like a package you can download.
Yeah.
First, well, you got to go here and get this.
I prefer the Apple One method versus the iOS method. Because the Apple One was a motherboard and an instruction kit, while the iOS is, you know, it's idiot-proof and doesn't give you much customization, if any. You have to go jailbreak.
Well, I think there's some middle ground between the iPhone and the Apple One.
Yeah, I think there's an intimidation factor with Drupal. I think that when people even – you just go to the Drupal site and the automatic response of a great many is, never mind. Like, it just looks hard. It's really not, but you know, the unfortunate experience that I've come across with people when they're confronted with Drupal is this is only for people who know what they're doing. The rest of you should go do something easy, and I think it doesn't seem approachable right now.
Well, let me put it this way: if you can write a PHP form to automatically email resumes to people as a job hunting method, you can easily use Drupal.
Okay, you lost me.
You understand how intimidating that is to like most of our audience.
It's 12 lines of code.
No, but I know that, and you know that, but everybody else cuts and pastes it from a help site and hopes for the best.
It looks like higher mathematics to me, Ida.
It does. Most people, you have to realize, most of the people listening to this show certainly would cut and paste that PHP code to send out those resumes from a site. They wouldn't do it on their own. They don't understand what the tags do.
That's me.
The tag's name is email.
Well, I know that. You know that. But I'm just saying, most people
are you seriously saying someone would look at the email tag and like, I wonder what that does?
No, they would know what it does, but they wouldn't code it themselves.
Yeah, they wouldn't know. I mean, yeah, I know what email means, but the 12 lines of code, I'm not going to... When I design and code comic sites with WordPress and Inkblot, I am using W3 schools like nobody's business trying to figure things out. Otherwise, I'm talking to Mike to ask, hey, what am I supposed to do? Now I'm trying not to ask him for the answer. I'm trying to... Tell me what to look for, and I'll go look it up so you know, I don't bother you constantly for codes.
Speaking of which, did you figure out how to do the background color on the text?
Yeah, it was a div, not whatever you were talking about.
No. Style background color equals.
Yes.
Well, I did it in a div. I suppose I could do it in a P as well.
You have to do it in the P if you want to do just a text.
Yeah, I mean, the divs are just...
Go to the website right now. It's there. I'm using a div. Down.
Read the 10. Count the 10.
It's all Greek to me.
If you look at the website the header
is what I'm saying.
Div.
This is why Drupal is intimidating. Many people, the way they code is they go into the PHP and whatever site they're using, they grab a template. From that template, they break things until the thing that they're trying to change breaks. When that breaks, they know which line to change.
Yep.
And they change different bits until it does what they want without really understanding what any of the verbiage inside those tags actually means. You just break it until what you want breaks, then you fix it, and then you move on.
It's called trial and error.
But it's an extreme form of trial and error.
I know, and that's
why... So when you go to the Drupal site, and there really isn't a, hi, click here and your site works. They sort of freak out and decide not to. And I think that, to me, is the biggest challenge for Drupal right now, is to make it accessible to people who just want to push a button, have the site load, and then maybe add stuff.
There is nothing on Drupal's site that says, new? Lost? Click here.
There's a search field.
No. If you have something, especially a coding system that you're trying to market to people, even if it is free, you want to have something that will have people that have no idea what it is to go to it. Search doesn't say anything. It's just a search bar. Search bars on almost every website. You need to have
a documentation tab.
That's a documentation. You need to start here. You need an introduction.
And then there's a getting started area on the after you hit the documentation tab. There's getting started is the first item. Understanding Drupal, installation guide, administration guide, creating a site structure.
I don't care, Ben. That's not how it works.
Everybody calm down. I love Drupal. I love what it's doing. I still think it needs an ambassador. That's all it comes down to.
That's what you need.
You need somebody to take all to make it to make it Apple stupid. I mean, just to make it Apple, click here, it works, don't touch it, it's fine, pat you on the head, and then you leave. That's what it needs in order for it to get, you know, the kind of popularity I think it deserves. Because again, you could run everything you want to run on a webcomic site, from your store to your blog and the comic, and, you know, have people buy prints of each comic, whatever else, one site.
I'm sorry.
I will accept the position if only I get diplomatic immunity.
I don't know that I have the authority to grant you diplomatic immunity. Otherwise, I would be on that.
Hold on.
It's open source, so everyone can contribute. So you can give him.
Hold on one second.
Cool.
Hold on one second, guys. Long and going show. Okay. I do have to say, I just went to the Drupal site. I did click on documentation, which doesn't scream check here first for understand. Okay. I do see the getting started, understanding Drupal. Click that. Okay, another bullet point thing that doesn't really say a whole lot without any sort of introduction. Click on DrupalCon. Oh, another bullet point system. Then I click on the Drupal overview. Sorry, that's a very, very terrible way to do an introduction.
It's written by programmers. What do you expect?
I was going to say, here's what.
Exactly the point, I think.
If you're a person who's not feeling well, you go to WebMD. For your, you know, symptom checklist. You don't go to Medline, which is written for doctors. And that's the problem. We need the WebMD. We need the middle ground that connects the programmers to the users. And then we'd be good. So be that ambassador.
Yeah.
The middle line between the programmers and users.
Yes.
That almost sounds like a line from the new Tron. Or Dilbert.
That's right. We need you to be our Tron messiah. Come on.
If only I get a life cycle.
I'm not saying everything has to be holding hands the whole way, but you need a starting point. And that's what you got
to
do.
I'll say it. It needs to be holding hands the whole way. If it needs to be mass appeal, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're marketing, you do want to try to get as broad of a market as possible. But even if you don't want to try to dumb yourself down too much, you still at least need to have a sort of convince me page.
I think the attitude of Drupal developers is that third parties will rise to fill that need in many ways, such as like the Ubuntu people, the Red Hat people, packaged Linux. Yeah.
Google
so you
people.
Didn't have to install 50,000 disks like I did in the mid-90s for Linux.
The Google people did the same thing,
and now Android is the OS market share in the U.S. Yeah. for mobile phones.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know, I really, if we're talking about holding hands and all that, I can't be the ambassador because of one reason.
Why?
My last job, I was doing technically IT support, even though I had a design title, and I quit that job.
Because you hate people after, like, 3 days.
Well, let me put it this way. A woman got a laptop, and she bought an extra monitor, you know, a regular monitor, a flat panel monitor, and she was calling me saying, okay, I just took that to my laptop, and now I have two screens. How do I move my cursor from one screen to the other?
Wow.
And then I told her, and then she says, okay, how do I move it back?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. And yes, there's always going to be people that are so far behind the curve, they're not going to catch up, and we leave them to die. That's the way it works. That's the way social
evolution. And then there was a woman who I was trying to walk her through. I said, okay, you need to right-click on your desktop. And she said, okay. And I said, what do you see? And she says, I see my pen and pad, and then on the pad I have the word click written.
Oh, God.
God, that sounds like an urban legend.
That's horrible.
I gotta say, I don't believe you, but... want to not believe you.
It's not that kind of gap I think we need to fill. We need to fill the gap between, you know, we're not going to the people who call IT because they're too stupid to run the computer at all. We're talking about the people who do a Google search to try to figure it out.
My cup holder's broken.
Aren't pulling in, but, you know, not the cup
holder. So we're not talking about fixing with the pack lids, right?
No. We're talking about the people who would do a Google search to try and figure it out on their own. People who would go into PHP and break their code until they know what to change.
Wait, people, you got that reference?
wait, where?
The packlet.
The packlet reference?
I recognize it. I don't remember the story.
They're the retarded race from Star Trek The Next Generation. You know, we can't go.
Yes. Okay. I don't take my Adderall on Sundays. So I catch things and I'm like, I laugh, and then I have to go back later and figure out what the fuck it was I was laughing about. Ooh, I just cursed on the show. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Like, that's
well, it's good thing we had a 5-second delay like a real radio show.
All right. So
anyway.
So I think we're all agreed on something here. What that is, I don't care to go and remember it now. We'll come back to it later when I listen to it after it's already available on webcomicbeacon.com. And that's where nearly every Sunday we have a live broadcast and recording for that week's show. So you can check us out on Ustream when we do our live shows. We did have some technical difficulties right now, so we did have to stop in between. But...
The show's no longer live. It's mostly dead, which is a little bit alive.
but
it's undead.
But that's something that we've been doing for over 2.5 years. And I don't think we started doing it right away, but it was really darn close to the beginning of the show. So it's constantly been a live show. We have almost 130 episodes, 2.5 years. Going strong, 95% of the time weekly. It's been awesome here at webcomicbeacon.com. And if you'd like to give us a call about anything that's happened in the past episode or a comment about this episode, you can leave a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com if there's any questions or if you'd like to sponsor or advertise an episode. We lost somebody.
Reach the eye.
Oh, there was something else I used to put in mine. Oh, leeks. I would put it in with onions and leeks.
Leeks are too weak. Leeks sort of, the flavor gets lost for me.
It gets lost, but I like the texture. Because everything else is slimy. Yesterday.
I looked for leeks and couldn't find none. This recipe called for leeks. So I got a big old onion instead.
Well, like onions are way too strong for a leek recipe.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. Hi.
Sorry.
We're talking about recipes again.
Internet cut out on me. And I guess if you guys do want to try to make a cooking show or food show, that's totally something I'd be interested in. Because we all know we need another project.
Work of art like my specially spiced bread.
Ooh.
But
and I can do all the weird stuff.
Okay.
We love good stuff.
So right before I left, I was trying to get us set to go to break. and now that I'm back, we're going to go to break and we're going to come back again.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant, what do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not say it out loud. Code Monkey not crazy, just proud. Code Monkey likes Beatles. Code Monkey likes to have a Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man. With
big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey, hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Code Monkey, offer buy you soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey, have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey, not thinking so straight. Code Monkey, not feeling so great. Code Monkey, like Fritos. Code Monkey, like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man. Big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. A coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man. Big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you.
That was Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton at musicalley.com by Mevio.
We could do like a totally new like podcast vidcast thing and call it The Dirty Kitchen.
Ooh.
Ooh. It on video, but it's okay for a podcast.
It's okay for cooking too. There we go. More garlic.
Can I be naked for that one too, or is that just for the show?
Well, only the vidcast.
No, we'd be bigger than the freezer burns guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we could call it The Dirty Kitchen. We
should do that. I like it.
Have any of you guys seen Freezer Burns? That guy is awesome.
I haven't.
Awesome. It's great.
Is it a vidcast show? What is it?
It's a vidcast where this guy goes down the frozen food aisle and buys it, tries everything.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So each episode is a new item, and it's very informative. Actually, the more you wouldn't think that you could find out so much about frozen foods.
Huh. On a dare once, his viewers kept on saying, "I saw some frozen dog ice cream, and I was wondering if you could try it," and he did.
I've eaten frozen dog ice cream because we feed it to the dogs when it's really hot in the summer, and you know, you can't just sit there and not taste it.
He threw it up.
It's not good. I didn't eat much of it. I ate like a tiny little lick of it and was like, wow, that's craptastic.
You know, those bacon strips smell fantastic.
Oh, don't eat them.
And stuff, but they
don't eat them.
Horrible.
Oh, the best one was when he did these boneless riblets, which is basically like a ground meat that was pressed into a ribless rib shape.
Ew.
You mean the McRib?
No, but
it's in the frozen food aisle. So he bought it and he cooked it. They gave three different cooking directions. They tried all three different ways, and each way was terrible. And the last one he tried raw, and
sounds like goblin pie.
And now, see, what would be good would be to try it, you know, according to whatever their horrible recipe concoction is. But
he tried all three, but then
try to make it good. See if you could actually utilize the ingredient in a way.
He does that sometimes too. If something's really bad, he tries to see if he can make it better by deep frying it.
Is he like a proper chef or
no?
He's just some dude.
He's just some dude like you and me.
He says he's a decent cook, so he knows. He knows stuff. He knows some stuff.
I'm not eating the things out of the frozen food section.
It was awesome. The one of my other favorite ones was he did a Thanksgiving episode where he made a tofurkey.
Oh,
and he was going to eat the whole thing, and he had a bucket next to him because it was so bad.
Now, see, luckily, I'm allergic to latex, so I can't eat tofu. Aw.
Well, okay.
That's our next project, The Dirty Kitchen.
All right. Well, okay. I am totally in on that, and we'll see if we can work something out, because...
I'm going to roast crickets in, like, 3 weeks, so I'll film it.
What?
I'm right. roasting crickets right. in Why? 3 weeks. They didn't... Because they're good.
Okay.
Have you ever had roasted crickets?
This is the webcomic beacon.
I had
Wait, Seth is trying to get back.
Polling
we'll
rank.
Talk in a minute.
I'm polling rank. We got to bring this back.
You don't have any rank.
I do have rank.
He's very rank.
I'm recording.
Okay. Seth, okay. please continue the show, and then we will talk about crickets later.
Okay. Tom?
Yes?
Hi, are you still here?
Yeah.
I feel bad, because it sounds like you're just kind of sitting there and stuff. And Brad, I do appreciate you, you know, putting up with us. I mean, I'm pretty sure Tom knows how our show already kind of is, so he kind of more or less can expect.
I'm enjoying the banter.
All right,
yeah,
awesome.
It was fun.
That is the secondary. No, that's the primary goal, I guess, of the Webcomic Beacon. But let's see here. There was a couple of things I was supposed to mention. Intervention Con.
Oh yeah.
Intervention Con, and I told them the wrong time by accident. They're actually the second people I told the wrong time for this episode, but I'm going to at least mention it, so I might splice in a recording of them later. But there's this a convention called Intervention, and you can find it at interventioncon.com. I know that Frumpf is going to be there with an exposure of Comic Press, and he's going to be there doing stuff. And it's featuring, you know, webcomics and artists. You know, your typical sort of, like, art-oriented sort of convention with, you know, an emphasis on webcomics, it seems. And if anybody knows OneZoomy, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Twitter and elsewhere, that person is running it. And I will hopefully get more information on that later, but I wanted to make a mention. It's September 10th to the 12th, 2010, at the Hilton in Washington, D.C., Rockville. And go ahead and check it out if you're in the area. It sounds like a good one to go to. We're going to be sending our very own Alex Heberling, our very first Webcomic Beacon correspondent. She will be there representing the Webcomic Beacon in the absence of any of the hosts. So I'm going to be sending her a t-shirt and a digital recorder so that she can get some recordings.
And a fedora with a press pass in the hat.
No,
that'd be awesome.
I have the fedoras.
She will be getting a press pass for the intervention. I know that for sure. So, and of course,
no fedora.
Not a fedora.
Chicks in fedoras are awesome.
Yes, they are. So you need to get her a fedora, Fez.
Ooh, stripy vest and a fedora.
And one of those armbands that they wore back in the day.
Of course, Alex is.
Oh, a chick.
Yeah, Alex. Oh, Alex Heberling of Garanos.
Yeah. Chicks look hot in guys' clothes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what?
Anyway, so much thanks to Alex Heberling. She's also listed on our About page. If anybody notices, I did redo, kind of tweak up the Webcomic Beacon site a little bit, and hopefully things will be looking a little bit nicer. And so that's one thing. Also, as I mentioned earlier, there's Minneapolis Indie Expo here in Minnesota at the Soap Factory in Minneapolis. And... And it's August 21st, just one day. It's a Saturday, and there's it's another one of those sort of arts conventions, and I'm going to be there representing the Webcomic Beacon. Eric and Lem of Blanket are going to be there. Diana Nock of Intrepid Girlbot is going to be there. Christopher Hastings of Dr. Mint Ninja is going to be there. A slew of people are going to be there. you know, a lot of Minnesota comic creators, some webcomic creators as well. Terry and Lisa of Godseeker are going to be there. Studio Antithesis is going to be there. Top Shelf Productions. There's so many things. I just can't list them all, obviously, because and then I'd just be reading off everything. But... so that's going to be going on. If you're going to be in the area, I will be there, and I encourage people to check it out one day. Free admission. So that is that. And if anybody else is going to conventions, particularly with an online publishing presence that's a a presence, you know, that it's you can see it and can grasp it and it's there. Not just some corner. Like, you know, they're being fairly represented in, you know, webcomics and such. You know, let us know, because those are the ones that we're interested about, because this is the web comic beacon. And yes. I actually have, on that Saturday, I have the programmers actually approached me and they wanted me to do something for webcomics. So from noon to one on Saturday, I will be interviewing... does anybody know the webcomic Rice Boy?
Huh?
Rice Boy? No.
Rice-boy.com. I'm going to be interviewing Evan Dom, the guy who does that, and he has also another one he's just starting called Vatu. And so that's going to be very cool. I'm actually going to be picking him up at the airport. So,
interviewing him in the car on the way there?
No, we got a spot. And then after that, I'm going to be doing a presentation on a crash course to webcomics. And I might.
Yeah, I'm your chauffeur. And by the way, when did you start webcomics?
So that's going to be there. And we're still going to have a show on the 22nd, the Sunday. It'll probably be a short show, but I'm gonna extend that into if I get a successful recording of Evan, I'm gonna be splicing that into the show as well, and maybe splicing some parts from the crash course on Saturday into the Sunday show. But I wanted to get some other people involved in a sort of crash course for webcomics on the Webcomic Beacon. So we will be having a show on that Sunday, and it might be a shorter show. I'm just going to give fair warning on that. So we'll see, a shorter live show, but we'll see how it goes. So there's that. So lots of stuff. I'm going to check our email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And let's see here. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Webcomic Beacon is sponsoring TGT webcomics, another six seemingly more successful show than the Webcomic Beacon, because they started after us, but also they do like a lot of direct interviews, and he has no set recording day, we have comparable audiences, but I think he has a completely different audience than us, since it's basically buying for readers versus kind of buying for amateur creators for the most part. Basically what I did to sponsor, I bought him the podcast studio by Behringer, the same thing that I have and started the show with, because, you know, it's something I like seeing, and I think he could really utilize a more professional setup, even though it's sort of like a beginner's sort of podcasting thing. So that's cool. And, so
that is cool.
Basically I bought out a few weeks of advertising. So Mark, you're one of the weeks.
I guess we should get the site updated then, shouldn't we?
Yeah. And I need a description from you and a banner. I would like to take this time to mention that the Webcomic Beacon, I will no longer be posting the Project Wonderful ads on the show notes. I will still mention online, on the air, who's sponsoring us right now. And presently, we have Unamused Comics at unamused-comics.com taking up our leaderboard. We also have the Don Chapel taking up our tower ad, and that is at donchapel.com, as in D-A-W-N. And it looks like watercolors, which I don't see as much in webcomics, but I'm starting to see more of them, so that's kind of cool. And our ad at the bottom of individual blog posts and pages is The Oswald Chronicles at theoswaldchronicles.com. I do thank you for sponsoring on our Project Wonderful ads, but I am trying to push our sponsorships for the episodes, and I'm increasing their value by not posting the Project Wonderful ads in the actual post. So it's business, and I'm trying to be more business-minded, as I'd also like to officially announce. Mark, I think it's okay to announce, don't you think? At least announce.
Are we ready for that? Really? Truly?
What the hell are we announcing? What's happening? What?
Are we ready for that yet?
We can mention it. It's not like it's a big deal just yet, as we are working on it still. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people already know what we're going to be talking about anyway.
Oh, well, I'm curious, so what the hell?
Horatio of the Rampage Network, myself and Mark are partners in Webcomic Z right now. We are the ones who bought Webcomic Z. We are still going to have to learn a bit of the ways around the code and everything like that from Chris. Chris just didn't have that much time to keep up on it, and we got some great ideas. We want to improve it, but I will promise it will not do what Buzz Comics did. What's Buzz Comics? Exactly.
Exactly.
That's so sad. What did happen to Buzz Comics anyway?
Fatality.
I don't know. I mean, it looked kind of impressive, but it was so business oriented and it was so flashy and everything. It was so different from what it was. We want to pretty much keep the core of what Webcomic Z is, and we want to expand on some things, improve some things. I can't think of too many things that we'd want to actually get rid of. But you can send emails to webcomicz@gmail.com if you have some constructive ideas, things that you absolutely like and don't want us to change, or things that you absolutely like and you want to improve us to improve. I'd like to hear what you think. Webcomicz.com. We're going to fix it up and relaunch it and make it all itself again and better, and I don't know, all this stuff. I'm excited. Yeah. It's our first sort of business investment and see how it goes.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild it faster.
We have the technology.
So there's that. Very, nice. Very, very exciting and very fun for all. And this has already been a very, very long podcast, but double-checking my email inbox really quick to see if there's anything going on. I do want to mention, it's been a while since I've mentioned it, but there is, if anyone remembers The Peculiars, the independent indie superhero action film based off of Pure and Hidden Truth, the webcomic. They exist in the same universe, essentially, but, you know, it's not like the comic as a movie. It's just like another idea that takes place in the same, you know, universe as the webcomic, and Jenny Everywhere is one of the superheroes in it and everything. So I'm just going to throw a heads up out here for this Kickstarter again, and I'll, because he had to relaunch the Kickstarter for a lower price, and he changed the pledge amounts and things, and they're all really great levels. So check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes for that. And so far, it looks like that's all we have for this week from our email. If anybody else has milestones of webcomics, Mark, you sometimes have one.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Oh, I wanted to mention TGT webcomics. Not a webcomic, but related. 2 years, a couple of weeks ago. So congratulations on that.
And yay.
Yay. So that is that. This is pretty much it for the rest of the show. Does anybody else that's on the panel have anything they'd like to throw in or add about comic management systems?
One thing. It's one thing that I think is missing in most comic management systems. I think actually Webcomic has it, but I haven't seen much others, including AutoKey and AutoGenesis, which I really think should have it. Yeah. It's when you're in the archive, you click on the comic itself to go to the next comic. I think that's a functionality that most webcomics should have by now. And if only
Scriptshow has that.
If only because people who read a lot of online comics and manga are used to that. Most online manga sites do that. You know, they also have a press the right button to go right, left button to go left as well. But that's all JavaScript, and you don't have to have that. But if you do, that's better. That's good, too.
Yeah, Scriptshow has that as a configurable option in the options page. It can get a little confusing because there are other configurable things in Scriptshow that you can do if you want to click on the comic. One of the features of Scriptshow is a not safe for work option where you have like a cover, you know, image or whatever that you put over to obscure your dirty, filthy comic from prying eyes. Click on that to see the nasty, filthy, horrifyingly.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. The Sparkling Generation Valkyrie has something like that on their latest.
So how to make that play nice with the idea of clicking on the comic to go to the next one? I'm afraid that those things just don't go together. So you're going to produce functionality somewhere.
But that would be great. You could even put the PG version of the comic on and then have it clicked where it's not a PG version.
That's actually something that I'm working on for the next version, which is customized alternative comics for each thing. People like Randall Monroe, he has like larger resolution versions of his comics that you can download. I'm experimenting with stuff like, you know, you want to download SVG versions in vector format. And so it would be nice to have like an opportunity to download alternate versions of the comics. There have been comics that I did back when I was doing my strip that I would do a clean version for my sister's kids who, you know, liked my characters but didn't necessarily need all the swearing or drug use.
Yeah.
So you could do a Lost web comic where you have a flash sideways by clicking on the comic.
Yes, that's right. The alternate universe. Of your own webcomic. Yeah,
where they all died in the plane crash anyways, and the whole thing was in purgatory.
I like it. It'll be a multiverse. Do it. Okay. Yeah, who would have guessed that we could have a bunch of programmers on and have a long show?
Well, I guess...
G-Fest.
I thought it would be shorter. Like, each one...
Are you crazed? Do you not speak to programmers very often?
Longest conversations and most enjoyable conversations of my life.
We're independent guys. You know, we don't have like a programming department and a marketing department for our projects. You know, we wear both hats. So we come on to market it, you know.
That's how I got a job interview once. I walked in wearing like five hats on my head because the description for the job said we're looking for someone to wear a lot of hats.
And in reality, they were looking for someone ridiculously literal. Is that?
it was a graphic design job. So
damn it, we need to hire someone that doesn't understand metaphor.
No, they're actually look, he's creative and artistic. I get it.
And they got it got me an interview.
You did actually do that. You're not just tall tailing again.
No, I really did do that. I can tell you the business's name and everything.
I believe you. I think it's cool. I have a cartoon. I have a comic version of my resume as well.
I did one of those too, where it's a comic strip where it's like, we need someone who can help us meet these deadlines, and then I walk in and I say, I can do it.
Da, da, da. Yeah, it's very cool. Yay!
Has that actually secured you any employment at any point?
Got me a lot of interviews.
Yeah, I actually haven't applied for a job since I did it. So, and then I decided to go to school. So, oops.
Now I use my custom resume PHP script to send resumes via email in a nicely formatted HTML email.
I think everybody has a resume site now, don't they?
I don't.
No, but mine is my own thing. I wrote the script and I have it. I have a web form that says put in the name of the person, and I usually put sir. Put in the name of the position. Put in the name of the company. Put in the name of, you know.
Yeah.
And then I just fill it out and it formats. It makes it look like it's a very beautiful e-blast, but it has all the information in there.
Thank you for your time and attention. I would love to work for Google. It has been my lifelong dream to work for Google in California.
Well, Google would probably go for that because, you know, they need someone to test out their soft drink division.
They have
I think that would be great. Every day I pass by Google on the way to work. Every freaking day. And I just cry. I die a little inside every time.
Would you want to try Google's new energy drink called Google Gulp? They have a website about it.
I'd do anything for Google. Honestly, no, I don't even care.
Let me find the website. You'll love this.
Is it one of their April Fool's things?
Looks pretty official. I'll let you judge. They have such flavors as glutamate, grape, sugar-free radical, beta carotene, and serotonic water.
This has to be one of their April Fool's deals.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know. We're
doing something.
By the way, we're talking about food again. So I've got to think about what to call this show. The Hungry Coder. I don't know.
The Hungry Coder.
So, all right. So, that is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon. Hope you like your, extra long episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com.
Especially dry aged.
That's right.
with a Python.
We are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. And that is all for this week. Well, this has been Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesAndShit.com.
This is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And this is Brad of stripshow.monkeylaw.org.
And this is Ben of MajesticKnightComic.com.
The Thomas Overbeck of Dallas Webcomics Expo, dwex.info.
Thanks to everyone who came to help out with this show, and apologize once again to the live crowd, but we'll be here again next week. Thank you, and see you later.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Yeah, I've muted mine.
Mine's been muted.
Mine's been muted.
Okay. Mine's been muted.
So,
it's doing it again.
No, no, no.
Mine's
okay.
Been muted.
Echo.
It's doing it again.
No, no, no.
Echo.
It's doing it again.
Okay.
Echo.
Okay. Somebody.
I can hear it calling in the air.
Stop. Please stop.